Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung with another edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. David James comes to the broadcast table to discuss with me the time of the beginning of the church. We'll start with a definition of the church, then take a quick look at other options. Of course, we will conclude with what the Word of God has to say on this particular issue and why when the church begins is important to our study of Bible prophecy. We'll get to David James at the broadcast table in just a moment. I want to remind you of my website, prophecytoday.com. It's a great source of information that will assist you in your understanding and study of Bible prophecy. On the homepage, we list the top 10 news stories happening in our world on that day. And then I give a prophetic perspective on these news stories. And in addition to that, we have our prophecy bookstore with a number of study materials that will assist you in your learning of the prophetic scenario that is found in God's Word. Go to my website, prophecytoday.com. Be sure to bookmark it and let others know that this is a great source of information on prophetic truth for our world today. We now bring to these microphones David James. David and I have a weekly conversation that will assist you, my dear friend, in being able to walk the Christian life. David, thank you for joining us, for all of your research, and let's think about a couple of emails that we had from some of our listeners concerning last week's discussion about Black Lives Matter. Talk to us about those emails.
Sure. Well, the one listener wrote that he was very interested but not totally surprised on the background surrounding the organization's history, meaning Black Lives Matter, and its goals in world domination, and he even says possible subjugation of basic Christianity. Then another listener wrote, I just listened to you and Dr. DeYoung, and I wanted to personally thank you for having the courage to speak out on the issue of the Black Lives Matters movement in this country. I've been researching this movement since it started, and everything you said affirms all of my research and suspicions, and I wanted to reach out to at least say thank you. And this same reader also mentioned our discussion of different meditation therapies that we had discussed earlier and said they reminded him of an experience that he and his wife had had earlier this year that felt very similar. He wrote, my wife had organized a Reiki, that's R-E-I-K-I, a Reiki therapy session for our son who is medically fragile and non-ambulatory. I was in another room and heard a weird chanting coming from downstairs in another language. I went down to see what was going on and saw a woman standing beside my son with her hands about 6 inches from his face, chanting a certain phrase over and over, and I immediately moved my son a bit, and the woman then proceeded to say, it's okay, you can't disrupt the energy flow. And Jimmy, as I understand it, Reiki is a Japanese alternative healing therapy that supposedly involves a transfer of energy and balances from one person to another as they trap the life force that permeates everything, and that would make it occultic. So we appreciate these letters, and we're glad that we can be of assistance to our listeners.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for all the emails you send to David and I when we have these discussions. It helps us and encourages us that we're doing something that is valuable and that you are interested in what we're having to say. Well, David, we received another email from another listener concerning the start of the church. And since there seems to be a lot of different ideas out there, I thought this would be a good topic for our discussion today.
I agree, Jimmy. This listener began his email by saying, the church started when Jesus selected the 12 who had been baptized just as he had been by John the Baptist. And then he went on to say that Jesus led that body and administered the work. That church had grown in number and was assembled, had a meeting and selected a replacement for Judas to be empowered and to be led by the Holy Ghost in Acts 2. And then finally he wrote, I believe John and Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom, but believe John's baptism was Christian. I don't believe this truth damages any prophetic truth that you teach. Church is a body of baptized believers. So, Jimmy, there was a lot packed into this short email, and I think we need to sort of break it apart because several things do have an impact on what you and I would consider prophetic truth from a number of perspectives. The first issue is the definition of the church. When we say the church, what does that mean biblically? And we'll get to that in a moment. The second is the question of when the church began, with John's baptism, as our listener believes, or in Matthew 16, as some believe, or in Acts 2, or in the middle of Acts, or later, as others believe. A third is the difference between the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of salvation, or is there a difference? And then finally, what difference does this all mean in relation to understanding the Bible as a whole?
David, you set up an agenda for us, so let's start with the definition of the church. I think there are many that have different ideas about this concerning what we actually mean by the church. Give that explanation first.
Well, first of all, we often talk about, quote-unquote, going to church or going to the church. And so for the average person, especially for those in the world, the idea of church can mean different things. So for many, the church is just a building where people have religious meetings. But the Bible never really talks about the building where we meet as a church and only refers to the church as a building in a figurative sense. For others, the church refers to a particular group that identifies as Christian. So, for example, the Roman Catholic Church or the Methodist or Episcopal Church. And in that sense, people generally mean the denomination or a group of people who generally believe many of the same things about God and the Bible and what it means to be a Christian and so on. But that's not the way the term is used in the Bible. When we see the term church in our English Bibles, it's a translation of the Greek word ekklesia, which is made up of two parts, ek, which means out, and kaleo, which means called. So in other words, a church is a called out group of people, called by God into something. And we can think of it this way. The church is a fellowship of believers who have been called out of the world system and now belong to the Lord. And the universal church, a term that we sometimes use, the universal church is made up of all born-again believers in Jesus Christ around the world, while a local church is the fellowship of born-again believers who meet in a particular place.
You know, our listener also mentioned that he believes the church started with John the Baptist and that John's baptism was actually Christian baptism. David, what are the various views concerning when the church started? And actually, I always introduce you on my 5-minute broadcast. Here comes David James, Bible in hand. So from a biblical perspective, talk to us about the start of the church.
Well, some would say the church is just another way of saying those who are the people of God and anyone who is a true believer in the God of the Bible. But if that's true, that would mean that the church started with Adam. And in fact, many do see it that way. But the Bible only identifies Christians as making up the church of Jesus Christ. So Adam was not a Christian. Noah wasn't a Christian, even though he was a believer. And neither were Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, or David, or any of the Old Testament saints. They weren't Christians. By definition, a Christian is only someone who has heard, understood, and believed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and at that moment, they are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ and permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And this baptizing and indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit began on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. So the church couldn't have begun with John the Baptist, as some say, or in Matthew chapter 16 with Peter's confession, as some others say, and it couldn't have begun later in Acts, as some dispensationalists say, for example, when Paul turned to the Gentiles, which he actually said he was doing at two different times that were years apart. So the church must have begun in Acts chapter 2. And to answer one of our listeners' comments specifically, that John's baptism could have been or was a Christian baptism, that's not possible because in Acts 19, Paul finds disciples of John the Baptist in Ephesus, and they are baptized after hearing and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So they're not the same thing at all.
Yeah, that's very good understanding of what baptism is talking about, David. Well, another one of the things our listener mentioned was that he believed John the Baptist and Jesus both preached the gospel of the kingdom. And I would agree with that at the time of Jesus Christ. However, I think a lot of people are confused when we talk about the gospel of the kingdom. Take a moment and explain the gospel of the kingdom, David.
Well, one of the things that dispensationalists have long been accused of is that of teaching two different gospels, meaning two different ways of salvation. One way for church-age saints, which is salvation by faith alone, and another for Old Testament saints, which would be salvation by faith plus works. That's what we're accused of. And in fact, some dispensationalists who place the start of the church after Acts chapter 2 do say that this is true, and they would say also that during the tribulation, salvation is once again by faith plus works. But, Jimmy, I would say that's a heretical view, and that's not at all what we mean by the gospel of the kingdom, which is different than the gospel of salvation. You know, the word gospel simply means good news. So when we talk about the gospel of the kingdom, we're not talking about the good news of salvation or how you enter the kingdom in the first place. We're talking about the good news of what life will be like for those who are in the kingdom. So, for example, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7, that's an extended presentation of the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus wasn't talking about how to become a citizen of the kingdom. He was talking about how kingdom citizens should live. And in fact, in John chapter 3, Jesus rebuked Nicodemus as a teacher of Israel for not knowing about how to enter the kingdom, which is to be born again, and that comes by grace alone through faith alone, and that has always been true from Adam forward till the end of the millennial kingdom.
Absolutely. One way to get saved, by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man would be able to boast. Boy, I appreciate that statement that you've just given us, David. Well, given all of this, would you say that having a proper understanding of when the church began does make a difference concerning the prophetic truth that you and I teach?
Well, Jimmy, I think it's very important, and it does make a huge difference in how we understand the Word of God. First, if we don't have a biblical understanding of when the church began, then we can make the mistake that some do and fail to recognize that believing Israel as the people of God in the Old Testament is not the same as the church in the New Testament. And if we make that mistake, we won't understand that the promises that God made to national Israel will be fulfilled in a literal kingdom here on the earth. And we will also wrongly think that things that were intended only for the nation of Israel apply to the church as well. So that's a big problem with application and interpretation. And if we hold that the church began with John the Baptist or with Peter's confession in Matthew 16, then we'll likely begin confusing the gospel of the kingdom with the gospel of salvation. And we would start bringing works into the equation concerning how our sins are forgiven and how we receive eternal life. And I've also seen this happen, as I said before, with some dispensationalists who place the church as starting in the middle of the book of Acts or later. And it also means that you must define a Christian as being something other than someone who is baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, into the one new man, as Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 2, whether they be Jew or Gentile. So there are so many things that this touches on, and we need to get this right in order to correctly understand the prophetic word of God.
Remember, dear folks, that we started with a definition of the church and conclude with what David just had to say. Great, great conversation we had today, David. I think this section of the broadcast on a weekly basis is very important as we help the body of Christ to understand what God's word has to say about all these issues. Thank you for your research. Appreciate it, my good friend. Be ready for another question, another conversation next week.
I'll look forward to it as always, Jimmy. Thanks a lot.
Very important discussion with David James. You know, my conversation with David on when the church actually began is key to our understanding of God's prophetic word. God has given us the prophetic truth in His word dealing with the future so that we can be prepared for that future and be ready for the next event in the future, the rapture of the church. That's an event that could happen at any moment, even today. And that is my prophetic perspective on the news today. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Thank you so very much for joining us on this edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Be sure to join us again next time when we will continue to look at current events in light of biblical prophecy.